Let's pray together. God of all grace, we pray that you would meet with us and minister to us, that you would strengthen and sustain us as we sit under your word by your Spirit. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you. We pray that you would work through my lisping and stammering tongue and direct us afresh to the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, and free. We pray this in his name. Amen. Please be seated. Please turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And just before we jump in and read, let me just say it is a joy to be with you. I'm grateful to the elders of this presbytery and this commission and to the elders of IPC for the opportunity of opening God's word with you tonight and for the opportunity to be with my dear friends Martin and Elizabeth. And let me say to you, IPC and Savannah and SCAD, that you are getting a family that is very special to all of us in Jackson and at First Presbyterian Church. And tonight we'll be considering just for a few moments the difficulty of empty hands and the beauty of humility. Humility is the greatest friend of a pastor, and it will fill you, Martin. Humility will fill you with more joy than approval, adoration, praise, or popularity. And so let's give our attention to God's word. We'll be reading verses 1 to 9. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Amen. This is God's word. A few years ago, I read a Wendell Berry novel entitled Remembering, and in it, Wendell Berry chronicles the life of a farmer named Andy Catlett, who lives and farms in Port William, Kentucky, with his parents and his wife and his children. Until one October at daybreak, as harvest was almost over, the field was almost finished, Andy was trying to clear one of the corn-picking machines, and he gets out, and he leaves the picker running, and as he's trying to clear it, the machine takes his hand. So Andy loses his hand, he loses his right hand, his strength. And Wendell Berry writes that when he loses his hand, he loses his hold of all that is dear to him. Because a major theme of the novel from that moment on is how difficult, how painful it is for Andy to let anyone love him. The farm, as you could imagine, was difficult to manage, but everyone chipped in, his neighbors, his friends, his parents, his wife, his children. Their care for Andy was inexhaustible. Andy was moved by his son Marcy, who was so able a boy and so willing to help, whatever it cost him, and often it cost him a great deal. There were days when Andy could not bear the eyes of his daughter Betty, who saw everything but still loved him. Their care was inexhaustible. but how hard it was for him to receive and rest in that care. Barry writes that nothing in Andy's life had ever so drained him than having to receive and to go on receiving their care and their charity. And the most difficult person for Andy to receive this care and charity from was his wife, Flora, who kept her vow in sickness and in health so faithfully. But Barry writes that Andy did not trust her to love him because he did not see himself as lovable. And so Andy left. He left Port William with his bitterness and his fear and his shame. He left his family and his farm. And much of the rest of the story is Andy remembering that place and those people. I think it's the saddest story, and I think we get it. It is the hardest thing to receive and to go on receiving from others a love that doesn't depend on our productivity, our usefulness, our beauty, our attraction. That is the hardest thing. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're talking about the difficulty of empty hands and the beauty of humility. This is a famous story. It really does pivot on the humility of Jesus and the pride of Peter. If you look at verse 2, look at the text with me. This is a dinner scene. This is the last meal. Normally before supper, the host would have a slave wash the feet of his guest. This was servant's work. Only the lowest of servants would wash feet because in first century Palestine, the feet were the dirtiest part of your body. In a day when there was no asphalt, no concrete, everything was dirt or mud, and the animals traveled the same well-worn paths. You walk a mile and your feet are foul and filthy. But look in verse 4. As they were eating their meal, it was Jesus. Jesus rose from supper. He does what a rabbi would never do. He takes off his outer clothing. He puts on the clothes of a slave, a towel around his waist. He pours water into a basin, and he goes from disciple to disciple, from foot to foot, and he washes the dirt from between their toes. And then look in verse 6. When he comes to Peter, Peter says, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Peter is holding off Jesus. Peter is hesitant to have his master kneeling before him, washing the dirt from his feet. And Jesus responds, verse 7, "What I am doing you do not understand, but afterward you will understand." And then in verse 8, Peter doesn't back down. Peter responds with this really strong command. In the Greek, it's an emphatic, absolutely not. It's actually a double negative. So he responds to Jesus and he says, "You will not wash my feet unto the ages. You will not wash my feet to eternity. You will not wash my feet forever." I think here's the question. Is Peter hesitant because of his humility? Is this humility? "You will not wash my feet unto the ages." Is this humility? No. You see, Peter's problem is Andy Catlett's problem, and it's our problem. To receive and to go on receiving, just to sit there, and to live in that place, the difficulty of empty hands, to receive a love that does not depend on our usefulness, our productivity, our beauty, or our attraction. Peter's response is in all of us. You see, there is a thread that runs through Andy Catlett, that runs through Peter. There is a thread that runs through us all. If we were to be honest, each of us would pull our feet back. "You will not wash my feet forever." it is difficult for us to receive that care and that charity. Because aren't we with God like Andy Catlett with Flora? Aren't we with God like Peter with Jesus, to receive and having to go on receiving? Because it is penance that we want. You will not wash my feet unto the ages. Do you see yourself in Peter tonight? Peter who said, Lord, I will do anything for you. Lord, I'll do anything for you. And yet here he pulls his feet back. You will not wash my feet unto the ages. I think it's the hardest thing. I think it's the fight of your life to receive and to go on receiving a love that does not depend on your usefulness, on your productivity, on your beauty, on your attraction. That's the greatest battle on the turf of your heart, Martin. That is the greatest battle on the turf of your heart. Just like that handicapped husband, Andy Catlett, has nothing to offer back to his wife day after day after day. He has nothing to offer. We have nothing to offer back to God. We have to live in that weakness. We have to depend on him day after day after day. And what I am exhorting you towards, Martin, is to make a deliberate and ongoing choice not to lead with strength or with beauty, but to lead with weakness, meaning dependence on him and need for his love, which is your strength and your beauty. I'm exhorting you to learn to live more and more as God sees you, his son, and not just his servant. And I'm exhorting you to believe that he delights in you and not just your efforts for him. And I'm exhorting you not to no longer worship at the altar of productivity and performance, achievement or accomplishment, but first to sit down. That is your primary job. Your identity is not achieved, it is received, but you can only receive it with empty hands as you discover who you are in God's pronouncement over you. You are his beloved. I think one of the worst, most besetting sins of the pastorate is pride. We want the praise. We want the popularity. We want the pats on the back. We want to bring something to the table. We don't want to have empty hands. Nothing is more harmful to you than your pride, and nothing is a greater friend to you than humility. Nothing is a greater friend to your home, and nothing is a greater friend to your ministry than humility. Humility is the posture of John the Baptist towards Jesus. Remember, I must decrease and he must increase. Let my name perish. Let all memory of my ministry fade. And may Jesus Christ be praised through all the ages on. May Jesus Christ be praised. I want you to look. You see, if you look at verse 1 and in verse 7, you see what John is providing for us is a picture, a kind of parable. In verse 1, we read that he loved them to the end. In verse 7, what I am doing you do not understand, but afterward you will understand. And so Jesus means after tomorrow, after my death, and later after my resurrection, then you will understand. In other words, what Jesus is saying to Peter is this: wait until tomorrow, Peter. Wait until tomorrow, because I'm not just going to pour out some water to wash the dirt off your feet. I'm going to pour out my blood to wash the sin from your heart. And I think Peter realizes here, finally, if I have the choice between my pride and Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me him. I want you to look at the beauty of his humility in verse 9. It's like the light goes on. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. It's like he's saying with the psalmist, wash me thoroughly. deep clean me. Wash me whiter than snow. Is this story familiar to you? Martin, there are lots of things that I could exhort you with tonight. Be faithful, shepherd the flock of God, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, pursue the hurting, pursue the lost. There are lots of things that I could exhort you with that are all necessary, that are all appropriate to your calling, but what is most needed, and certainly what is most needed in my own heart, is this. Surrender to the love of Jesus. Surrender to the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, and free. I want to exhort you, to borrow a little phrase from Spurgeon, I want to exhort you to endeavor to reach the upper chambers of love's palace. I want you to endeavor to reach the upper chambers of love's palace, to grow in experiencing the Lord's delight in you. The Lord knows you. He's not indifferent towards you. The Lord delights in you. You are his pearl of great price. You are engraved on his heart. You are unsnatchable from his hand. There is a ring and a robe for you. Let me close with this. Oftentimes in our home, we'll have family dance parties. We have these family dance parties, and I have a daughter named Finley who is 2 years old. And do you think that as she is dancing in our living room, do you think that I judge her skill? Do you think that I judge her performance as she is exuding joy? No. What I love to see is how free and how self-forgetful she is. I love to see that she knows that her father delights in her. And Martin, do you not know? Have you not heard? This is like our God. That's what God wants for you, to be self-forgetful. The beauty of empty hands, the difficulty of empty hands, and the beauty of humility, that you will learn to live and rest in his love. May it be so. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we ask now for strength for our brother Martin as he continues to walk in the path that you have given him. We pray that you would strengthen him by your grace, that you would give him wisdom, that you would make him to be a man of God approved in every way, that you would wrap him in the power of the gospel, that you would use him, Holy Spirit, to advance the kingdom, and let him be an instrument in the Redeemer's hands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.